News Talk 1620 WTAW Friday evening visit with Rhonda Seaton of the College Station Police Department. Something that I wanted to bring up just by our casual conversations, you and others, some with the College Station Police Department, and I'm guessing with other agencies. You all have been involved in dealing with law enforcement and firefighters and maybe others in recent weeks. With some very stressful situations, and one was this past week with a suicide of a A&M Consolidated High School student. Not too long ago, there was a house fire in the Brenham area that took the lives of members of a family, and that's something that obviously direct family members don't get over easily, but nor do those in the emergency services who respond to those things.
And I don't think a lot of people realize that you know, the emergency responders, they deal with trauma and basically critical incidents, you know, very frequently. We locally have what we call the Brazos Valley Critical Incident Stress Management Team. It has members from the Sheriff's Department, both Bryan and College Station PD. We've got some DPS troopers that are involved, firefighters, and it's really a multi-level. We've got all types of emergency service personnel involved in that, and we try to take care of our own, understanding that I would not do a debriefing with College Station officers. I might help with Bryan officers or Sheriff's Department personnel, but I'm not going to take care of my own right here within my own department, and so that's the reason we have, you know, emergency service personnel from other agencies, and so we can take care of each other. We traveled, you know, recently to a neighboring jurisdiction, and we do that quite frequently. You know, we see bad stuff. We see accidents. We see, you know, all of life's miseries, you know, the things that other people wouldn't even comprehend having to deal with on a daily basis. You know, our guys and gals see frequently. And a lot of people, you know, kind of old school, they say, well, you know, if you can't deal with the bad stuff, then you don't need to be in this line of work. Well, that is very old school, because what we realize now is the people that we hire, they're not doing it for the money. You know, you're not going to get rich being a cop. You're not going to get rich being a firefighter. They do the jobs because they care, and they care about the community that they work in. They care about the people that they serve, and they've got compassion. And when you're that type of person, it's going to hurt when you see bad stuff. And we hope that this will keep our people healthy. You know, we want to keep them physically healthy, but we've also got to try to keep them mentally healthy, too.
Well, the two go hand in hand.
They do. And, you know, it's basically, it's not kumbaya. It's not any therapeutic mumbo jumbo. It's pretty much just you sit and you have an organized discussion about the critical incident. And basically, we call a critical incident or critical incident stress is when a normal person's normal reaction to an abnormal event. And there's no way that you can work a fatality accident involving a kid or really anyone and think that that's anywhere close to normal. It's not normal to deal with tragedy on a daily basis. And sometimes it's just worse than others. Sometimes there's events that just strike you, you know, when others don't. And a lot of it has to do with the history that you bring to the table as a police officer. You know, things in my past, maybe, you know, they will be different than things in other people's past. And so we just have to make sure that we take care of our guys and gals so they can continue to take care of the citizens.
How great is the network of those in the emergency services? If there, for instance, if there's something that triggers something in your head, how easily can you find somebody, perhaps in another jurisdiction, that you can almost relieve yourself of that, get it off your mind?
Pretty easily, and a lot easier now than in the past, because this has pretty much become accepted practice. People, we've done a lot of education. It's something that we teach all the incoming new police officers. It's part of the curriculum that our state licensing agency teaches. done a lot of presentations and call it pre-incident education. We want people to not be afraid of the process, because that was a lot of the barrier that we faced in the past, is that you've got these hardcore old school cops that really are not very accepting. And the same with firefighters. You know, I've been in the fire service for 25 years and I've never had to talk about anything and blah, blah, blah. But they realize now that it's better to talk about it. And, you know, it's a lot easier to deal with all the bad stuff if you just sit down and talk about it. And our firefighters have kind of been doing it informally for a long time, but they have a little bit of an advantage in that they spend 24 hours a day together every third day. So they kind of have a built-in family away from their family. But sometimes it just helps to have somebody who's outside of that immediate circle to sit down and listen and point out some things that others may be too close to see.
Worst case scenario, if you know of someone who is thinking about doing something, what's the best way to go about getting assistance?
You tell somebody. You know, if you can't get them to call some type of hotline, you call the hotline. And there are trained professionals on the other end of that hotline, and they can direct you and tell you what to do. If you've got a close friend that has threatened himself, call the police department. You know, we go to welfare concerns all the time, and we have staff that are trained for that. So, you know, there are resources out there. Don't ignore it. Don't leave them alone if you can avoid it. You know, call the police department if you have no place else to turn.
Rhonda Seaton with the College Station Police Department with us this evening on News Talk 1620 WTAW.